Ephesians chapter 1, I want to mainly use for the message this evening verse 13 and verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 1. We'll read these two verses and then we'll make some comments, introductory comments. Notice it says, in whom you also trusted. Trusted, whom do you trust for your salvation? It's in a person, a person. The same as it says in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. In whom? The apostle said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able. He is able to keep all that I've committed unto Him. He is able. In whom you also trusted. Trusted. After you heard the word of truth. The word of truth. You just didn't hear words. You heard truth. You heard the gospel. It's the gospel of your salvation. Now, you know the word gospel means good news. It's good news. It's the good news of God's mercy to sinners through and by the Lord Jesus. The gospel of your salvation. Notice it says again, in whom? In whom also, after that you believed. Believed who? Him. Trusted who? Him. You see, the preaching of the gospel is setting forth a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the preaching of Christ in Him crucified. The apostle said, I'm determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's our message. Christ, His person. Christ, His priestly work. How He obtained eternal redemption for us with His blood. In whom? Also, after you believed, you were sealed. God put His stamp. And that's what the word means. God put His mark on you. He sealed you with that Holy Spirit of promise. That Holy Spirit of promise. Which, verse 14, is the earnest of our inheritance. The earnest, you know, earnest is token or pledge. The earnest of our inheritance. We have a glorious inheritance, being made heirs of God, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said it's incorruptible inheritance, undefiled, it does not fade away, that's reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. But we have the earnest of this inheritance, the token or pledge of this inheritance until the redemption, until that redemption of the purchased possession. That word redemption also means deliverance. We have this token or pledge of our eternal inheritance until the deliverance, the total complete deliverance and glorification of all the saints in Christ Jesus. This is the purchased possession. He bought us with His own blood. He says, you are no more your own. You're bought with a price. Bought with His blood. This is the purchased possession. And notice this is the third time this phrase is used in verse 14, unto the praise of His glory. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, that God the Father chose us, predestinated us, accepted us to the praise of the glory of His grace. And then it talks about the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ, how He redeemed us. He has justified us by His grace, washed away all our sins, made Himself known unto us. He abounded toward us. He's given us this eternal inheritance. And notice in verse 12 it says that we should be to the praise of His glory. That's the bottom line in salvation. God is determined to glorify Himself in the saving of sinners. God is determined that in salvation the Lord Jesus Christ, and rightly so, should receive all honor, blessing, glory, and power, both now and forever. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Now, in verse 13 and verse 14, I'm going to bring this study, and this is what it's going to be. It's going to be a verse by verse and word by word study in these two verses. Paul declares unto us in these two verses the means that God has ordained to apply salvation and to reveal salvation unto His elect. His sovereign application of grace to the praise of the glory of His grace in Christ Jesus. Now, we know in reading the Word of God that in salvation, God has done a glorious work of salvation for us. A justifying work of salvation for us. He justified us by His blood. The Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. No doubt about that. God made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He has done a glorious, marvelous, sovereign, powerful, justifying work of grace. He's done that for us. But also, in the gospel we read that He is also doing a work of grace in us. We read in Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then we read in that Philippian epistle, chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that God who hath begun a good work in you, He will perfect it. He will complete it. He will finish it unto His glory, unto His purpose. Now, in verse 13, there are three vital, necessary things are revealed unto us in the believer's actual experience of salvation. That which God does within us in conversion and in regeneration. Pastor Mahan used to always have this expression when people would ask him different questions about, and a lot of times the questions along the line is, you know, when is a man saved? Or when did I come to know the Lord? And I don't think it's important at all that we pin down a date, time, and place. I'm not at all interested in trying to pin that down. But I would have you know that after you heard the true gospel, God gave you faith to trust the true and living God. He would always say this, talking to these people who would question Him, He would always say a religious experience is not salvation. Now, you can have lots of religious experiences. That's not salvation. But He always would have the flip side to that. Salvation by God's sovereign saving grace is certainly something we do experience. Something we do partake of. We are, by His grace, partakers of a divine nature. That's God doing that regenerating work of God in the heart. God raising us from the dead. That's something we certainly do experience. It's a transforming work of God, translating us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. It's God calling us out of darkness into His marvelous light. That is something we certainly do experience, is it not? That's something that God, by His power and purpose and providence, brings to pass in our life. And that's something that we do know something about. Now, in verse 13 of Ephesians 1, three vital things. He says here, we've heard the word of truth, in whom you also trusted. In whom you also trusted. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. We've heard, just not preaching, we've heard true preaching. We've heard the word of truth. We've heard the gospel of our salvation. The good news of mercy to beggars. Beggars on the dunghill. God kills and God makes alive. We've heard the truth of the gospel. We've heard the good news of mercy to sinners. Now, a couple words here. He says, you heard you heard the truth. You see it? In whom you also trusted after you heard. You heard. Now this hearing is God-given. This hearing is God-given. God must give us eyes to see His glory. God must give us ears to hear Him. God must give us life and salvation. This hearing is God-given. Now all men hear words when a sermon is declared, but some hear with understanding. Some hear in the power of God and with the power of God. They just don't hear words. They hear God speak through His Word, through His servant. I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. And then we'll go back to Colossians chapter 1. But 1 Thessalonians. This is not just hearing words audibly. This is hearing with understanding. This is hearing being blessed of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. Now, it did come that way. The gospel did come through the preaching of Christ and Him crucified. But it didn't come in word only. But, there's one of those little words, but it's a big word in Scripture. But also in power. God gave you ears to hear Him speak. God enlivened His Word and He drove it home to your heart. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word, the message, in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. How did they receive this word? Find 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, God gave us ears to hear. He sent us a preacher with the truth, with the word, and He gave us ears to hear, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe it. Now, they heard, and God's people love the word of God, the truth of God. Find Colossians chapter 1. Now, look at this verse here. Colossians chapter 1. Our Lord said, blessed is that man who's been given ears to hear Him speak. Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the Word, what'd you hear? You heard the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel. Who God is, who Christ is, how He saves sinners, what He accomplished in dying for our sins, and which is come unto you. This word, this truth of the gospel is come unto you as it is in all the world. He said, and He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And it brings forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. In truth. You heard. God gave you an interest and ears to hear Him speak. You heard. Now look back at the text again. Ephesians 1. And then it says here, you heard. You heard the word of truth. Of truth. You heard the word of truth. Not the lies of men, but rather the truth of the gospel as it's revealed in the word. Now here's some more scripture. Let's find John. John chapter 5. You heard God's word, God's truth. That word that's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. That word that's the power of God unto salvation. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me He has life. He has everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now find John 6, John chapter 6, verse 44. John 6, 44. Our Lord said in John 8, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Notice John 6, 44. No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. As it is written in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard what? The word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, the gospel of your salvation. Every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father, they trust Christ. Our Lord said, they come unto me. So you heard. What'd you hear? You heard the truth. And then the third thing he says here, you heard the word of truth. You heard the gospel of your salvation. Of your salvation. Your salvation. You heard the good news of God's mercy to sinners in Christ Jesus. This is the gospel that we've heard. We've heard that's the power of God. Find Romans chapter 1. We'll keep you busy here turning. Romans chapter 1. You heard the gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The true gospel. Not another. There's just one Lord, one faith, and there's one gospel. One gospel, one saving message. Romans 1, look at verse 15. For as much as in me is, I'm ready. Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready to preach the gospel. What is the gospel? In Romans 1, verse 1, turn over there just a minute. Romans 1, 1, the gospel. Paul said that he was separated unto the gospel of God. It's God's gospel. And then in Romans chapter 1, verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared, determined to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. That gospel, he says, verse 15, for as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach that gospel, the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew and also to the Greek. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed in that gospel. The righteousness that's of God. Of God. It's by His doing, His dying, His performance, not mine, His. This is the righteousness that's of God that's provided in the gospel. For therein is the righteousness of God. That's a key statement all the way through the book of Romans. The righteousness that's of Him. That is, it originates with Him. It is from Him. The righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the justified or the just shall live by faith. Or we can read it this way, the justified live in Christ, by Christ, through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. So, back to the text, Ephesians 1 verse 13. You see, you just didn't hear some man popping off. You heard the truth. You heard the Word of God. You heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it became the gospel, the good news of your salvation. Of your salvation. I tell you, I rejoice in the salvation of others. I was telling my wife on the way up this morning about a young couple, actually the grandson of Pastor Henry Mahan, recently was converted and confessed Christ in baptism. And oh, I rejoice. I rejoice in that young man's salvation. But I rejoice in his salvation. But I, my friend, I also rejoice in my salvation. My salvation. It's the gospel of my salvation. He saved me by his grace. I rejoice with you in your salvation. But my friend, I do rejoice that God had mercy on me, the sinner. I can say with the apostle, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, we heard the gospel of our salvation. Now, the second point in this message goes like this. We, by His grace, have believed the gospel, the truth. Notice it says here, in whom you also trusted, in whom you also hoped in whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom you also believed, you trusted, you hoped in Him, in Christ. You trusted Him, you hoped in Him. Believing is not the cause of salvation. It's the fruit of it.
Amen.
Salvation is a gift of God. Our faith does not accomplish salvation. Our faith, true saving faith, acknowledges that Christ accomplished our salvation. And by faith we receive Him as everything in salvation. Believing is not the cause of our salvation. It's the fruit of it. The fruit of it. Faith is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith, it says in John 5:29, faith is a work of God. This is the work of God, that you believe on Him. Now find the book of Acts chapter 13. You have ears to hear Him and faith to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because God gave you life through the gospel. Acts 13, verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. The faith of God's elect, it says this in Scripture, I'm not making this up. The faith of God's elect, Titus 1:1, the faith of God's elect, what does it do? Like true saving repentance, true repentance acknowledges the truth, and the faith of God's elect acknowledges the truth. The truth. You see, you heard the gospel and God gave you the gift of life, the gift of faith, and it caused you to believe Him and rest in Him. Now I want you to find 2 Thessalonians and look at this scripture here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 13. You heard the word, and after you heard the word of truth, you trusted Him. You believed Him. You rest in Him. Why? God gave you ears. God gave you life to trust Him. Now look at this scripture here. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. We are bound to give thanks. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. That's the work of the Spirit in us. That's the work of regenerating grace in us. And the fruit of that is belief of the truth. Now watch this. Whereunto He called you. How did He call you? By the gospel. By the gospel, the good news of salvation in Him, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Says down there in verse 16, now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, who had loved us, and He's given us an everlasting consolation and a good hope through His grace. Through His grace. Oh, the preaching of the gospel. How necessary it is to preach this message and to preach this truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel. Now, I put this statement or this article in the bulletin this week by an old preacher way back in the 1600s, John Flavel. I don't know if you have his works. I have 6 volumes of his works. John Flavel, way back, 1600s. He was born early 1600s. But talking about the Word being preached and the necessity of God using that message in the preaching of the gospel, He said the word preached is God's ordained, appointed means to give spiritual life to His people. You hath He quickened who were dead. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. The word of truth. Now, I want you to find 1 Peter chapter 1. See, you trusted after you heard the word of truth. The necessity of preaching the gospel. Now, our Lord clearly, throughout the word, instructed us to go preach the gospel. Go preach to every creature. Go preach the gospel. It doesn't matter to whom. It matters whom we preach, but it doesn't matter to whom we preach. Go preach to every creature. And God uses that preached word, blessed by His Spirit, to call, convert, and to quicken His covenant people. He calls us with the gospel. Now notice 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again. Oh, our Lord said, you must be born again. You must be born again. Except you're born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Except you're born again, you cannot see. Being born again, not of a corruptible seed. Now that's how we were begotten in Adam, with that corruptible seed. But of an incorruptible seed. The word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is a written word. It's the preached word. It's the living word. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's our message, Christ. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. It's preached unto you. Now, God, now listen to this statement. And don't misunderstand me. The apostle said, God has given us this treasure. We have the treasure of the gospel, but it's in a clay pot. It's in an earthen vessel. That the excellency of the power of the gospel may be of God and not of us. We have this message of the gospel. God has given us this message and this truth to declare. But we do not glory in the vessel. We glory in the Christ of God, the message of the gospel. Now, I would not make much of the preacher, especially this one. But I would make much of the means that God has ordained the preaching of the gospel in the calling out of His sheep. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they do follow me. That's why we read earlier in Romans 10, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach except he be sent? Sent of God. The Apostle Paul, his last letter that God gave him, and it was addressed to a young preacher, Timothy, right? And the last chapter of that last epistle, it says this, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ to go and preach the word. Preach the word, be in season, out of season, it doesn't matter what season it is. But you go and preach the gospel to everyone. Go and preach the gospel now, the gospel. Now, back to the text, Ephesians chapter 1. In whom you also trusted after you heard the true gospel. God doesn't save with lies. He saves with truth. God doesn't save with tradition, ceremony. God saves with truth. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, as I quoted earlier. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom... Also, after you believed by grace, you were sealed. You were sealed. And here's the third thing. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Notice, and I read over that word. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit of promise. Remember our Lord said to His disciples, when He, the Holy Spirit of truth, is come, He will take the word and reveal Christ into your heart. With that Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit that was promised by the Lord Jesus. That's who He's talking about. Here's the third thing. We were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, or the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, stay right here and find Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians 4, 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of deliverance, unto the day of redemption. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, it says in Romans 5, 5, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. How's the love of God shed abroad in our hearts? How do we know anything about it? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Given unto us. Now this word here, sealed, look it up, simply means to set a seal on one as a mark or as a stamp. God put His stamp upon His people. He's put His ownership upon His people. He has branded His people. They're branded in the foot, the hand, and the ear. They're branded. They follow Him, they hear Him, and they receive Him. He puts His mark of ownership upon Him. God the Holy Spirit puts this mark upon us, which bears a continual witness in our heart, by exalting the Lord Jesus Christ within us, confirming and assuring believers of our right and title to all of salvation in Christ Jesus alone. In Christ. Now here's another scripture on that. If you find 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 20, for all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, all the promises of God, of salvation, mercy, pardon, forgiveness, are in Christ Jesus, and they're yes, they're in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now He which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us as God, is God, who also hath sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8, 9, he's none of his. Now find Romans 8, verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. He's given us that Holy Spirit in our heart, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Romans 8, notice verse 14. For as many as be led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together in Him, with Him, with Him. Now, back to our text, Ephesians chapter 1. And let me give you this last verse of our study here, verse 14. He sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise, that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest token or pledge, is what that word means, of our eternal inheritance until the redemption or to the deliverance of the purchased possession. He bought us unto the praise of His glory. The praise of His glory. Now, what does earnest mean here? We've all experienced this, I believe, to some extent or another in natural things and carnal things. Earnest is the first installment payment as a pledge that the rest will follow. Maybe when you were younger, you went out and looked at a house, and you told the real estate agent that you were interested in that house, and you put down some earnest money, a token or a pledge that signifying that you intend to purchase the whole, and that you intend to have the whole. That's what he's saying here. That's what he's saying. We have given to us God the Holy Spirit indwelling in us in anticipation of the full possession of our eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus in resurrection glory. And that's what he's talking about there in that verse 14. Until the deliverance of the purchased possession. He's talking about resurrection and final glory in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:23 declares this: not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. The redemption of our body. You see, we have this earnest, this token, this pledge dwelling in us, the Holy Spirit. And it's a token and pledge of our eternal inheritance until we completely receive it, totally, finally, and fully in eternal glory in Christ Jesus. Until the redemption, the deliverance of that purchased possession or His peculiar people. The church bought with His blood. And this is referring to that resurrection morning. I want you to find 1 Corinthians 15. Until the redemption, the total glorification of that purchased body, believers that He bought with His own blood, when we will be in that glorious resurrection morning, totally delivered, body, soul, and spirit, when this mortal shall put on immortality and this corruptible shall put on incorruption, then we'll sing this. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's start with verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up. It's victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Oh, He put away our sin. He honored the law. Verse 57, thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him. Always by Him, through Him, and in Him. Always in Him. All these things. The last part of verse 14, unto the praise of His glory. Unto the praise. All these things are working according to His sovereign will and purpose, to the praise of His glory. Chosen to the praise of His glory. Redeemed to the praise of His glory. Hearing, believing, being sealed, resurrected, all to the praise of His glory. That's the good news of the gospel. That's what He has taught us by His Spirit, through His Word, through His truth, through His gospel. Well, Lord willing, next week we'll pick up with verse 15. And we'll continue